The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. If you'd like to listen to bonus episodes, go sign up to the Patreon. That's patreon.com. Anyway, you'll find a way. Hello and welcome to this episode of the James Donald Forbes McCann Catamaran Plan. Big day, big tiring, taxing day. A kind thanks to the good people of Omaha who sold out. My show sold out, midweek show in Omaha. Can you believe it? What a joy. And equal to that, my stern remonstrances to the airline carrier who were unable to get me there. So that show has been cancelled and it's being rebooked. I'm very sorry. And rather than risk the same thing happening tomorrow, I am flying with CJ, my wonderful opener, all the way. We're flying to... He's over there. He's here. We're flying to Iowa tonight. We'll spend tomorrow in Iowa and do the show in Des Moines tomorrow night. And at the moment, we are in Detroit. May I just say, what a very fine, fine airport indeed they have here in Detroit. People say Detroit is a city past its prime. Well, I can't speak for the city. I've never been to it. But the airport itself, magnificent. Not enough nice things to say, but I'm as flat as a tack. When the flight was getting cancelled, we were flying to Dallas, and we were going to fly on. And the flight just got delayed and delayed and delayed, and then we were obviously going to miss the next one. And I'm scrambling. Can we fly in via Las Vegas? Can we fly in via Arizona? Do I have to go to L.A.? Is Denver an issue? Nothing was an issue. Nothing was happening. Can I get in an Uber now to take me to San Antonio, to take me to Denver? It's at some point you just go, none of this is working. Can I fly into Kansas City and drive for 3.5 hours? And maybe they can push the show back by an hour and a half. I'm sorry. I'm told this sort of thing is quite common. Now, I don't want to be the guy who always just says, oh, but in Australia, listen to me. In Australia, every major city, there's only five, you know? So there's like 20 flights a day to every major city. And if you miss one, you get the next one's coming in a half an hour. In America, this is a revelation. If you miss it, you might get one more shot, but if you have to be there in the evening, you're done. And then we've been going around this airport trying to find the New Yorker. I'm trying to join the mainstream elite. And I thought you'd have to do that by reading the New Yorker, and I cannot find a copy of the New Yorker. Wow. It is beautiful to watch him take off. It does fill me with joy and satisfaction. It seemed like a much better idea to do the podcast at an airport before I started doing the podcast at an airport. I was trying to find the multidisciplinary prayer room to do it in, but we don't have time. Actually, I have less to say than I had hoped that I would. I wrote a poem, and I'll read you the poem. This is the next book of poem. Oh, my wife's texting me. That's so nice. Give me a call tonight if you're free. I love you. I miss you. I'm sorry it's all so difficult. What a sweet woman. What a very sweet woman. This is a despairing poem that I wrote on the flight. CJ hearing it for the first time. All that has done shall be undone. All that has been left undone shall be buttoned up. That which is half done shall remain so for the time being. The proud will be humbled. The humble will be celebrated. The mighty will be crippled. The crippled will be made strong. The humble cripple will be celebrated and strong. The proud and mighty really have it coming. The humble and mighty will be crippled, but get the best possible care. The crippled and proud will be questioned thoroughly. Where there is discord, we will bring harmony. Where there is harmony, complicated jazz chords. Complicated jazz chords will become different complicated jazz chords, except for passing chords, which won't go anywhere, and the song will be over. The hungry will be fed. The full will be fed to the hungry. Those who are asleep will be woken up. Those who are awake will stay awake. Those who are sleepy will be given coffee and a cigarette and encouraged to keep going. Old women will have full, upright, milky breasts. They'll be huge. Old men will have perpetual erections and beg to be flaccid again. But they will not be able to be flaccid. The hairy man will be made smooth. The smooth man will be made even more smooth. Amputees will have more limbs than they could possibly ever know what to do with. Deaf and blind people will switch ailments. People who are both deaf and blind will lose taste and smell also and touch from the waist up. And everybody must pay a tax. Those experiencing financial hardship can get an extension. Those who do not need an extension will be taxed again and again until they relent and ask for an extension. And it's going to be sun showers nonstop. You'll always need a light jacket, but that's all you're going to need. And then I gave up writing that one and I tried to watch Mission Impossible. And let me tell you, that first Mission Impossible movie, I thought, well, this is an impossible mission. There's absolutely no way they'll be doing that. I checked the menu. They've made about 8. I'm starting to think that mission might be more possible than we've been led to believe. CJ, do you want to come over here and say something now? You don't want to come in? Maybe you'll come in later on. When we're at the hotel. I'm crumbling. I'm getting looks. I didn't mean to be getting looks. Hi, did you want to come on the podcast? I understand. I don't really want to be doing it either. Well, what else is happening in the world? Oh, the riots were kicking off. There were riots in Austin 2 nights ago. I should share some thoughts on that. I got a couple minutes, and then if I don't finish them, I'll finish them when we're at the hotel. Yeah, there were riots in Austin, as there are... Well, they don't like saying riots. They like saying mostly peaceful protests, which is a term that I now understand, having seen it. It's mostly peaceful. You know, there's 200 people there. 198 of them are peaceful, and one of them is trying to kick in a Chick-fil-A. And someone threw a cone at the Comedy Mothership sign, broke some neon, and I came out from my set, and... I said, what's going on? Because everyone was out front of the club. And they said, there was a protest. It's moved on that way. This is like the anti-ICE protest. It's over that way. And I didn't walk. I ran to see it. I wanted to get right in the... I wanted to see it. Is that us? No, that's to Knoxville. Anyway, I went down to the protest. And it was like, you know, they were chanting, we are peaceful, you are violent. We are peaceful, you are violent. They'd left a trail of debris in their wake, but they were not the violent ones. Oh, I guess I'll wait for that to finish. Will you now? Okay. Yep. How much does this guy have to say? So I got into the protest, and it was, I noticed immediately on getting to the protest that I look like an American liberal. Hold on. Hello? Hello? No, you've got the wrong number. This is James. That's all right, man. You have a good one. Anyway, I got to the protest and I realized that I sort of looked like an American liberal. And then the cops showed up. Like, the cops were already there, but they showed up in force. They had, like, huge military vehicles and things that made loud noises. And then a guy got out of, like, a people character. Something that looked like out of a video game. It was huge and terrifying. And he had, looked like a paintball gun, but I think it was rubber bullets. And which I recognize from that Australian journalist weirdly being shot by rubber bullets in LA. And, yeah, I legged it. I ran away. As fast as I had ran there, I ran away. And I remember I started farting. I wasn't farting on my run there, but boy, I was farting on the run. I was like, oh, no. And I think I got, I think there was tear gas in the air because my eyes were stingy and my throat was sore. Well, I was also, yeah, different kind of gas. There was two kinds of gas. There was the tear gas and the gas that I produced that'll bring a tear to your eye. And but I also realized later I was running with a Xenin. I had a nicotine pouch. So that might have had a negative effect, and that might not have been tear gas. But then I got home, and my wife was like, you think there was tear gas? Take a shower. Take a cold shower. So I take the cold shower, and I go, why did you make me? She goes, wash all your body with soap and water, and wash your hair with shampoo and cold water. And I said, afterwards, I said, why did it have to be that? She said, hot water will open up your pores, and the tear gas will get in. You got to have cold water to close the pores. I said, how do you know this? She's like, I know these things. I didn't know she'd ever had tear gas deployed on her previously. And now, well, this is a big... Yeah, we have to go. I'll continue. I've got a thought. I've got a big thought because there's protests coming up. And everybody knows there's protests coming up on Saturday. Big ones that are sponsored by corporations and stuff. And it's an interesting vibe in America now where I can just say this now. Everyone's sort of aware that something's going to kick off, and they don't know how big it's going to be, but they know something's coming. Anyway, I have probably more to say. Here's the last thing I'll say. In Australia, all the protests I ever saw happened during the day, and it was just like 5,000 lesbians going for a walk with their kids, and then they'd wrap it up. But in the States, big burly men at night, it is a different vibe. I can see why the police have that reaction. All right, we have to go. We have to go. We have to go. Beautiful Des Moines, Iowa. We managed to get on the flight. We managed to get to Iowa. We have a gig tomorrow night, and short of disaster, God forbid, I will be doing that show in Iowa. Des Moines. Des Moines, beautiful. I love it. The airport is low. It's small, 90s bricks, colorful things. It's good. And the problems of the world seem very far away here. Downstairs checking in to this hotel, and the lady's like, have you been to Iowa before? And CJ said, I've never been to Iowa. I don't do a good Louisiana accent, and he has a unique voice, and I shouldn't try and pigeonhole it. He said, I've never been to Iowa before. And they said, ooh, the ladies behind the desk, they said, ooh, ooh, you're going to have a good time. And then they broke, and they said, nah, it's a lot of corn. it's nice to be here. I haven't expelled enough energy today to go to sleep, but after so much tension and moving around, have I said that right? I think I've said that wrong. I can't go to sleep and I can't do anything. That's the basic problem I'm in. So we get the podcast. I don't remember if I already said that. Maybe I already said that. Oh, this is a bad start.
I just text my girlfriend, and I've had a good time, and I appreciate staying in the house, but I did write this to my girlfriend. I feel like I'm on a sleepover that's never ending. Can you come and pick me up?
Well, it's how, you know, when you're at your friend's house and they've got to go out, and your parents haven't picked you up yet, and you're there with their family, and it's a bit weird.
This is what it is now. My friend has gone off to his job.
Amos is staying at my house with my family, and I'm gone. Amos has played a long game to usurp my position.
I kept thinking your son was calling me Dad, but it turns out he was calling me Jack.
Why is he calling you Jack?
The little one. I don't know. He says, hey, Jack. Because your friend Jackets need you.
Yes, we have so many people coming through. It's very nearly an open house. It's a bit of a problem.
No, it's actually not. That's funny. I said to Taylor, oh my God, he just called me Dad. And she goes, no, he didn't. He said Jack. And I'm like, pretty sure he said Dad. She's like, no, he didn't.
No.
I'm like, well, and then I nearly knocked your son's tooth out. Oh, God, I had to get out of the house.
But we don't want to say too much on that in case child services get involved. I just want to get your opinion very quickly. Is America headed for a civil war this weekend? Amos Gill.
Well, that's why your son lost his tooth. I took him to the rally and he said, leave. Your son said, I have my papers. Why don't you?
Have you got a gig coming up in the downtown? Will you get to go and experience the peaceful protest, mostly peaceful protests?
Yes, I'm more concerned than you are. I've been calling you all day saying they're going to have a Latino George Floyd moment. And then
we've moved on from lunchtime. At lunchtime, you told me we were going to war with Iran.
Oh, yes. I'm the boy that calls crisis. To be honest with you, I said to Taylor, it's all going to happen. And I showed her some tweets. And she goes, oh, that's pretty bad. And then an hour later, she goes, what happened? And I said, nothing yet. I've been made a fool again by Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to find something about the Houthis attacking the Ben-Gurion airport. It's not registered. It's a tit for tat because they took out the airport the other day. I don't know that anyone's, I don't know how bad the damage is. It's not on Drudge Report at all.
Well, no, because it was what happened that got me interested was Donald Trump was in a tuxedo going to the Kennedy Center to watch Les Mis, and they said, why did you pull all the diplomats out of the Middle East? And he goes, you'll have to see later on.
Yeah, that's a... Les Mis is a... Les Mis, during a time of public unrest, Les Mis is a weird one to go
that's
and see.
Why I was...
Because what happens concerned. At the end of Les Mis? The government crushes the plucky rebels who fail.
Mr. President, what have you got to say about these rallies in LA? They will wet themselves in blood. It's my favorite part of this musical I saw tonight. You know, this Javert, he does a job. I'd love Javert and Ice.
We love Javert. He gets his man. Hugh Jackman. Actually, it's two immigrants in Les Mis, the movie version. It's a New Zealander and an Australian. Neither of them are French.
This Javert, he's a great guy.
I like to think
great
now,
worker.
Now that Trump has come out of there, right now, at this moment we're recording this, Trump is walking around the White House going, master of the house, keeper of the inn. Maybe he's dropping a little. And the tigers come at night. Big tigers.
This poor little girl, she had to sell her hair and her teeth.
Then she prostituted herself. You sell, see, if she bad business. You keep the teeth and the hair and you prostitute yourself. Then you make better money.
You're not going to get, no one's going to buy that pussy.
No one's going to buy it.
Ugly mouth.
No
ugly,
one wants
ugly.
The toothless, short-haired woman. They don't want her. I don't do a good Trump.
That must have been a really bad, bad prostitute if you're selling teeth.
Hooker. I don't think he'd say prostitute. Prostitute's a hard one to say in an American accent. Oh, prostitute.
No, but it is definitely excellent.
Woman of the night.
That's all we need right now for the President of the United States when we've a national day of revolutionary rallies is for him to be watching Les Mis.
You know what I want him watching?
So, you know what's bad? Next week he's going to Caligula, so I'm a little concerned.
And you've got Benjamin Netanyahu there going, Mr. President, I think it would be right if you went to go and see Fiddler on the Roof. There's a good message in Fiddler on the Roof. Master of the house, keeper of the inn.
No, I'm a little concerned, aren't you?
What? This is not a good chair.
How good was the aquarium?
I loved it. Blue Zoo.
Small aquarium. Dignified. The kind of aquarium you would hope for in a place like Iowa, as far as you can possibly be away from ocean.
I've actually never been to an aquarium where you feed them. That was, like, interesting.
Man, feeding them and getting them to suck on my hand. That was a weird one.
That was weird.
Very tickly.
I mean, I've heard that at, like, some, like, Asian spas where you can put your feet in, like, water and the fish will eat the dead skin on your feet.
Yeah.
I have heard about that, but I've never seen it. It wasn't pleasant. I don't think I would have...
I was very happy to pull my hand out of there.
Yeah, it really kind of... It irked you real quick.
How funny was the lady in the tank?
The lady in the tank was so good. God dang.
I mean, the scrub.
The fact that she just was like, she couldn't see us, and it was just her in a very vulnerable position.
Wonderful time had it. Now, one thing CJ has noticed, so we went to the mall, and right next to the mall, there was the Blue Zoo, which is the aquarium. And as we were walking, and wonderful mall, wonderful Barnes & Noble. They're all wonderful Barnes & Nobles.
Every one of them.
We saw Love the Guns. We saw Love the Candy. A gun and candy shop.
Right next to each other.
In the same building. It was the same business, I think.
Same business.
Yeah. Guns and candy.
Same store. They had guns, candy, Legos.
It's a mixtape.
Bow and arrows.
Bows and arrows were much more expensive than the guns.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Weird. And then the samurai swords. I mean, they had like a long, extensive...
I did think about buying a wooden samurai sword and getting my skills up.
A very large, extensive collection of swords.
And I can't help but notice you having noticed fat women in Des Moines. A lot of advertisements for fat women.
So many advertisements, and I loved all of them. I...
CJ likes a big girl.
I like a curvy gal. I like we call them healthy in the South. I like the...
heifers.
I like a healthy lady. And then,
I'm sorry, I'm dinging hard.
Yeah, dinging hard. Ding it. I mean, I don't like... Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. I don't, you know... I appreciate...
They're rebooking the Omaha show. We've rebooked the Omaha show successfully. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Perfect.
You. The heavy set ladies.
Another heavy set city. Omaha. Omaha. I appreciate corn farmers and what they do for this country.
I'm just going to turn that down there so we don't get any more dings about this Omaha show. I still feel very bad about the Omaha show. Glad that
you
I'll
do,
be coming back.
And I get why. I mean, I can't imagine the letdown of a sold-out show and then everybody having to...
Those poor people. And I get all amped up, excited to see them. But what I will say is nice is because it's sold out and the show was booked... when things were, you know, not as going as well as they are now. The rebooking is on a Saturday, and I get two of them. We get two shows in Omaha, and that's on sale now.
That is going to be great shows.
Oh, mercy me. What else did we do? I mean, I finally got the New Yorker.
Finally. After a lot of searching. I mean, every airport did not have the new... I mean, what is... I don't know. I don't know if somebody... really fucked up on their ad team or their rep team or something, but they did not have...
I would say that the liberal agenda is not as entrenched as I had thought that it was. I thought it was omnipresent. It's actually, in much of the South, quite difficult to get your hands on the New Yorker.
New Yorker.
I love it. I tried reading the other magazines because in Barnes & Noble they had heaps of them. I thought, because after the New York last time, I bought The Economist. I was like, maybe every week I'll buy a different magazine. And then I started flipping through like Mother, Mrs. Hen.
Those sunglasses Jones. Really go well with a New Yorker.
Yeah. I read their article on... they're always kind of detached. And then when they have an editorial opinion, they save it just for like a weak moment at the end. Mm. So I'm reading this article on Curtis Yarvin, who was Mendacious Mobuck. He was sort of the intellectual godfather of the Dark Enlightenment, it was called. But sort of anti-democracy. He's openly anti-democracy. Doesn't like democracy. Thinks America should be run like a company by a CEO.
Oof. Elon Musk loves that guy.
Well, he's very tight with Peter Thiel and J.D. Vance. So in the jockeying of different tech, reactionary, whatever we want to call them, futurist reactionaries, that's not bad. He's really in. He's in with Peter Thiel very hard, and they're rolling out this thing about like you know, everyone's going to have a social credit.
Oof.
I don't know. Amos Gill keeps talking to me about it. Won't stop talking to me about it, how the techno surveillance state is coming. But so he doesn't like democracy. He really believes in monarchy and sort of dictatorship.
Yikes.
And he's buddies with J.D. Vance and a bunch of people in the magosphere. And so this article is like pretty relaxed. In fact, considering it's the New Yorker, and this is all the stuff that they supposedly loathe, it's like for 8 pages I'm sitting in the Barnes & Noble reading it. I didn't buy it this time. I just read it in the Barnes & Noble. There was one article I wanted to read. Pretty relaxed. And then right at the end, devastating, withering, where they're like, they're going through at the start, he's so smart. He's such a smart guy. He knows so much. And then it sets a pivot, and they talk to his ex-girlfriend who's got a child with him. And you know, it's like, yeah, he likes to cut people down. He likes to be the – he needs to talk. It needs to be him. And then there's little murmurings coming. He needs be, he wants to be a good boy. He wants a pat on the head. And then it ends with this withering page where they go and they see the guy who coined the great replacement theory. He's a French guy. But it's this thought that, like, Western governments are shipping in a bunch of black and brown people, often Muslims, because the whites aren't having kids anymore. And the guy who came up with it is, I think by regulation, he's a Jewish gay French guy. So the thought that he's like far right, he was trying to come up with a theory to explain this that wasn't anti-Semitic, because people usually blame the Jews, and he's blaming capitalism. Sorry, this is going on. Anyway, so he's like, this French guy is a big, big influence to Curtis Yarvin, who the article's about. And then they go to, like, the journalist goes with him to go and visit this guy in his French castle. And he writes, like, this Curtis Yarvin was like whimpering. He was like a whimpering little boy who wanted a pat on the head, just wanted to be liked, just kept asking questions and kept being, listen to me, talk to me, pay attention to me. And at the end, you know, Curtis Yarvin gets in the car with the journalist and goes, was it good? And the journalist is like, this French guy couldn't stand this guy. He's an immature little boy. But like, you got to wade through 12,000 words of weighing up this man's ideas and not judging him and not really interacting with the central claims that he makes. And then at the end, it's like, this guy's an idiot and his arguments don't make sense. And he's just a greedy little boy.
It's dark, man. It's looking bleak. And then we read that. Bleak. I mean, we read between that article and then you read that Ad Breakers magazine.
Yes. Have you got your Ad Breakers magazine?
It's right there in that bed.
Tell us more about the magazine.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like a political magazine, but it reads like a, I don't know, it's like a, it's almost, they have poetic moments in it.
There is poetry.
Yes, and there's like old, it's almost like a meme of like these old pictures. It's kind of, it's very political. I mean, you know, I don't agree with necessarily everything in it. I mean, the idea of like, the idea of like getting rid of your car, getting rid of your phone,
consume less,
completely, totally consume nothing. It's kind of, it's like, yeah, there's obviously a point where you're gonna have to consume. I need a phone. I have to work. I have to do things. But it's like, there is parts of it that I agree with. That it's like, yes, I mean, realistically, if we want to change the world, we're gonna we have to change the way we're operating.
You said a funny thing, which was, you said they're all about disengaging from corporations, living quiet, small lives, and then it's a glossy magazine in Barnes and Noble. Yeah, I mean, which is like, I mean, I guess that's the audience who needs it. You've got to be in the world to share the message. I'm not having a phone. I have bought and will be getting soon. I bought the minimal phone.
Yeah, what's that about? Okay. Explain it.
It's got a QWERTY keyboard.
But does it look like an iPhone at all?
No, it looks like a BlackBerry with a Kindle screen.
Whoa.
Yeah. So you can do everything on it. I've tried the dumb phone before. And I've run into real trouble because I try and get an Uber somewhere or look up a map. It's a real bother. I just want a phone that can do, I'm paying almost no attention to, except, yeah, if I have to look something up or get somewhere or I want to listen to a song, I can do that. And I think this is the phone to do it.
And you can take pictures on it.
Yes.
High quality images.
I think they look like they're black and white, but we'll find out. They're black and white on the screen, but they might be good in color in real life.
Because see, that wouldn't be bad if you carried maybe you go old school, get a camera.
I'm going to carry that camera around.
And you take pictures when you take them. I mean, whatever. You going 90s with it.
Yeah. How many pictures do I need?
Right.
How many pictures do we really need? This is the technology is starting to catch up where it's easier to participate in the world and do it in a thoughtful way. Because the technology is not being, it's not, I've tried it. For me, it hasn't been there. It's getting closer. I know you have to give things up and suffer. But I mean, now that I have an agent and a manager, I wonder if it can all be done with a phone call. You know, one thing exciting that I found out, you can call Uber.
Really?
Yeah, you can call them up.
Whew, good luck communicating to them.
I think you probably have to talk to a robot.
Okay, good.
Say it over and over.
I mean, shit. I don't know. I've ordered some in Austin, and you're lucky to get English, unfortunately. But I
don't think you actually talk to the driver. I think you talk to an AI call center, and they just dispatch it to you. It's for the elderly.
I appreciate the people that don't speak English. Don't get me wrong. I know they need to work. That's good.
Hey, on people in Austin who don't speak English, what do you think is happening this weekend with these big protests? How do you think that's going to go down? You've been here for the last few. I was not here for the last few rounds of American civil demonstration.
It's going to be more rounds of it. It's going to get, I think it'll probably get more violent. It'll come to a boiling point, right? Where like the same thing with George Floyd thing, where
you
it
think
becomes,
a George Floyd thing is coming as well. Because I was talking to Amos and he's like, they're going to do a George. I think he was saying someone will organize a police overreach. Like, the protesters will get themselves in a position where a cop does a dumb thing, and then it's going to ratchet way up.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Some of it has already kind of happened, where like the riots or the protests in LA, became like a riot whenever the police overstepped with some kind of violence, and then those violence went. Got clipped and posted online, and then everybody saw them, and then now they're like, fuck that. We're going to do this in Austin. We're going to do this in Chicago. We're
going
to do this.
Get it going.
So then the odds of it happening one more time where it gets ramped up again, it's like, yeah, it's gonna happen.
How does that feel? I mean, as an American, this seems to happen routine. Like DeSantis in Florida, I just saw a clip of him saying, if they surround you. Here's the other thing. A lot of the context when these things are reported on is absent. So it's only because I know a little bit about America that I know that in the aftermath of the Rodney King thing, people were on the freeway and mostly peaceful protesters got a little less peaceful, and some guys were like ripped out of their car and beaten up. And I don't know if people died. But it seems like if you're in your car, if they hit the freeway, if the mob hits the freeway, wow, watch out. And so DeSantis is saying, if they come at you in your car, run them down and keep going. And if you hit them, it's not your fault. They're in front of your car. That just seems likely to ratchet up more. Does this just like peter out?
Here's the thing, man. I get protests, and I understand, to a certain extent, getting your voice out there and wanting to shake the pot. But I'm saying that whenever you're taking rocks from the side of the highway and just starting to throw them at random cars.
Yeah.
I just don't get that. I don't understand what.
And again, that's not most of the people are not doing that.
They're not. They're,
they seem to have.
Saying a lot of videos online I'm seeing where it's like I just don't understand.
I'm seeing it's weird because the right are going, this is very violent, and then the left are going, this is what the protests are. It's a woman with a bubble wand. That's what's going on out there. I think they're both happening.
Here's the thing. It seems like
footage of both of them happening is happening.
And I just read something about a Buddhist guy in Japan. They were not treating Buddhists too good in Japan.
Yeah.
And he set himself on fire. That happened to, I think it was in the 60s or something. It was like a long time ago.
There was a Vietnam protest where a guy set himself on fire.
It was this day in history. Yesterday. And I read about it and I was like, dang, like that's... That to me is like a selfless protest where, you know, that was the days before there was any social media, just kind of you did something wild and you kind of harmed yourself or you threatened to harm yourself.
It was a little harder to go viral back then.
But I'm saying like it was not this, I'm going to fuck all these people's cars up and then send a message. I'm going to post it online or I'm going to do some wild shit so people, I'm going to break into a Target. And fucking video it so I go viral. It's all very like selfish. Selfish protesting, not selfless protesting. Where it's like, oh, I'm gonna risk my life. I'm gonna risk my.
That was Greta Thunberg this week, and I like Greta Thunberg.
Yeah,
I know a lot of people watching this. A lot of my audience. I don't know how that overlaps with Greta Thunberg's audience, but I would recommend watching her going on a boat from Europe to America. I think it's in winter they sail the Atlantic. But she got on that boat and got herself arrested by Israel by trying to sail into Gaza. Now, I don't know how much food they actually managed to bring on that boat. It was a small boat. They're like, we're breaking the blockade with aid. And I think they might have eaten a lot of it on the way over. And so I was largely symbolic. And then they got him on a boat and they gave him sandwiches. And then the IDF get to come out with pictures of like Greta Thunberg eating a sandwich. And they're like, how abusive can we be? We gave her a sandwich.
Right.
But I when I thought that, I thought, yeah, getting celebrities to go into a war zone and get themselves arrested, that's quite... I got my attention.
Yeah, I mean that's what you know. That's what kind of is. That's what this ad breakers thing's all about at the end, where they're saying you know stop these reactive protests. Like whenever something happens, we're reacting to it, and we're kind of like doing these protests that seem to be obviously doing nothing. Like it doesn't really do change. I mean, if you
but sort yourself out. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, it's like
also is the kind of revolution that I would if I was Barnes and Noble, if I was the biggest corporate. Bricks and mortar bookseller, the kind of protest that I'd want is for people to go quiet and start reading more books and not kick in my store.
Well, yeah, that too, but it's also that's a good point. Yeah, no more looting whenever that message is spread around.
You see, looting isn't cool.
No, but I feel like it's... That's a good point. But I
personal
like,
empowerment is the real revolution.
I feel like to me that there is some truth to that. I mean, if it is like, yeah, I mean... The protests and shit that we've done time and time again, it seems like they don't really work. What actually, and it also kind of just fuels the fire of the corporations and the consumerism. Because what are they going to do? You break into Target, you bust all their shit. It's not like they're hurting. They're getting almost
they're gonna bounce back.
They're getting advertisement. Basically. It's free marketing for
someone
them.
Looting the Target and pushing the button to try and get them to open the cabinet. For
oh
the
yeah,
socks.
It's on Fox News. Whatever. Like all and it's like oh yeah, it's like Target's everywhere. It's like oh big break into Target's more fucking money for them. You know what I mean? Like and then it's like or people that are posting all this shit online, more Instagram followers. It's just more marketing money for Instagram. It's like it's almost the protests are fueling these giant corporations to make more money.
I think these No Kings protest. It's coming like, up on Saturday is backed by a lot of corporate.
Where it's
I looked
like
at the
coming together offline, coming together offline, and not you know really including any of these boycotting, coming together offline, and doing all these things that are like I don't know. That's what it's saying on here. It's like organizing yourself with like a community and making an impact that way locally, and you know what I mean.
Yes,
like, I feel like that's the way more so than like. Just going from major city to major city, making viral videos. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't.
Food for thought there from CJ.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Hey.
I want change. Just
you may say I'm
else.
A dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us.
No, I am. I believe in the change. I respect people that want the change to happen. I'm just trying to figure out maybe better ways to do it. That's all. I'm brainstorming.
Here's my theory. America likes having
chaos.
Yeah, just it's such an uptight society most of the time.
Mm.
You know, and just to have it really blow out makes people go, oh. Yeah. Like white people probably feel a little sterile in their suburbs after a while, going, this is, all the houses look the same, and it's too safe and it's too quiet. And then something like this happens, and you feel better about being in the suburbs. And you go, like, I didn't want to move to the suburbs until I lived in the vibrant area, and that's really made me enjoy the suburbs in a way that I could never have if there hadn't been schizophrenics milling about in the park, shouting at nothing, and gunshots at night, and a litany of other things. But and I feel like, you know, for the downtrodden, you get for a moment, you get to feel like, oh, what's going on now?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. You got all that, and then you get to go back to your,
right.
You know.
And you know what's crazy, and this is what I noticed? All that anxiety, all that angst, all that, like, built-up aggression happens to society in America.
Yeah.
Whenever it is not football season.
Is that so?
For whatever reason. I mean, remember?
Well, the weather's nice.
Remember whenever George Floyd?
Yeah.
And all that shit
no,
happened?
No, I don't remember.
All
I wasn't
okay, well,
here for the weather.
That, all that happened and football wasn't on. Then whenever football came on, they were like, all right, let's put fucking in slavery or something on the – or in races or whatever on the field.
And then it ended. It did
end. And let's just keep the aggression on the field, huh? And everyone's like, yeah! And they, you know what I mean? They
baseball –
For what
the finals? The playoffs are happening right now.
Nobody
sorry,
cares.
Not baseball. The basketball.
Nobody gives a fuck.
It's true. You need regular season football so that everybody's
enough.
Team. Everybody's
it's not angry
team.
Enough. I need my anger displaced somewhere.
You need a more
be,
violent
I need
sport.
My anger to be towards all of the Cowboys organization.
I like this.
I need to hate the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what it is. It's all these like rivalries and all these guys. They get to, they get hammered every weekend. They just let it all out. They're like, fuck the Eagles. And they watch them lose or they watch them win, and they just get mad. They go to the games and they flick off the fucking rival fans. They fight a lot.
Oh, you miss it, don't you?
It's just what it is. I mean, guy, and it's a lot of men. You know what I mean? We need to displace this anger.
We need to see big, strong men.
And again,
concussed.
It's another problem with America. We're all you can say it all. You can say you're not all you want. Everybody that is involved in these protests, we're all part of the problem. It's facts. We go to McDonald's. We watch the NFL. We buy Nikes. We're just bought in. And there, at some point, there needs to be a mental shift out of that. And, I mean, I've been saying it for a while. America don't need to make shit for another 10 years. We don't need to make another coat hanger. We don't need to make another shirt. We don't need to make a pair of jeans. We have all of it. Go to Facebook Marketplace. Go to Goodwill. Go to fucking TJ Maxx, whatever. All this shit is just hand-me-down shit that we can just buy for 10 years. We don't need to make nothing. You really don't. Everybody doesn't.
This is a view. Okay.
Am I crazy?
No, but in Australia, we do this way more. And the op shop, we call them op shops, but your Goodwill, it's much, much more expensive in Australia because like hipsters make up a bigger percentage of the population, I think.
Yeah.
And we go, so I was a big thrift store guy and remain. Love going to the Goodwill.
Me too.
But there is a real social opprobrium in America. There's a looking down. It's Goodwill. Like Goodwill still sounds like something bad.
Yes.
And there's a mental barrier to go to Goodwill. And you know what? If we can get these tariffs back up, I think people might start to appreciate how good Goodwill is. Goodwill's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, we just
Midwest need a, Goodwill. Wow.
Because everybody wants to buy new shit. Everybody wants new shit, and it's like, yeah. Buddy, that is being part of the problem right there. That is how you're thinking is being part of the problem. I'm sorry. I know. I love new clothes too, and I love new cars, and I love new phones, and I love the NFL. I get it, but I'm saying, at some point, you have to realize that is being part of the problem. Sorry. I mean, I'm just saying, if you want change in that way, the way that all these people are protesting, and you want...
You can't just stop. You got to replace it with something. And that's genuinely where I think the...
Yeah, go outside.
Well, go outside. And go
love your family.
Yeah.
Pray.
I was building towards prayer.
I mean, what the fuck? That's the answer that we're all ignoring. I get it. It's not as fun as a new pair of Nikes. I get it.
CJ is a youth pastor,
I'm just saying, it's just not the answer, man. You're buying new iPhones, you don't need one. I have a fucking iPhone 10 from, 7 years ago or some shit.
Mine's still got a button on the screen.
Still works.
And the worst thing about having the button on the screen? This is the SE, which I'm replacing with, again, the smaller, hopefully crappier one.
That's right.
Worst thing that happens is sometimes I'll be in a green room with rich people. And they'll go, he's got a button on the screen? This guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are you doing? You need a new phone, man. And you just go, yeah. And that's it.
I know, there's peer pressure to be part of the fucking problem.
But so much of that people think is peer pressure.
Damn, that's some dirty ass shoes.
It's just a guy.
Yeah, it is,
bitch. It's just a guy having something to say. He wants something to say. There's a little point of difference.
Oh, how many fucking guys out there are just dying for something to say? Holy fuck.
But let him say it. I mean, I say dumb stuff to have something to say all the time.
Say it. Guys at the bar, they have nothing interesting to say. They say the same damn shit. Holy fuck. I mean, I went to the hotel, but I didn't tell you this.
There's an episode that hasn't come out yet where CJ gets real angry. Angry CJ is, I think,
well, you're firing me
up
now.
Going to be successful CJ.
I did not tell you this last night. I went to the hotel bar.
Yeah.
And I drank and I ate wings. And yeah, I watched the NBA.
Yeah.
Part of the problem. I sat there and I watched it, and I'm just a part of being, I think, at least for me, part of being just a guy that has to do this stand-up crap. There's a part of like you have to soak up what other people are doing.
Did you hear? There's just three guys at the bar who were chatting. So I heard them talking afterwards when I didn't know you'd been down there.
Uh-huh.
I came down there at like midnight to eat some Burger King. I had a Whopper, part of the problem, and loved it. I couldn't order any sauce on Uber Eats somehow. Anyway, any ketchup. But I heard these three men talking at the bar. Did you have an interaction with these men at the bar?
I did not even talk to them, but I just listened to them.
Me too.
I mean, holy shit. There's part of me that wants to, I like listening to guys try to be funny. Because I enjoyed listening to what people think is funny, what they laugh at. all that stuff. I mean, bro, the amount of times one of these guys kept making gay jokes.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. The bartender was like talking about how he's like, what is it? He said he's from somewhere. It was somewhere like Eastern Europe or something. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I love the food in my country, you know, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, a lot of meats, huh? A lot of meats in your mouth. Right? He got a lot of meats in his mouth. And it was like, holy shit. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's like 56 years old.
Yeah.
It's like his mind is an adolescent.
I heard him making some good points later on in the evening. I heard the only thing I heard, because I had my headphones on, I took them off at the end of my Whopper. And I heard him saying, I'm guessing this is the same guy, because it was one guy doing a lot of the talking. And he said, JFK would have been a Republican now.
Yeah, they're very Republican. Very Republican. I was listening to them. And they made so many jokes that were like, yo, what the fuck? I mean, what did they say? They said something about, they were talking about eyeglasses at some point. I forget what the store is, but they were talking about, it's like some, the eye store in Walmart.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, that's for black people. And then they started laughing. They were like, I'm just kidding. It's like, you're not kidding. Like, that was a wild shit you just said.
I mean,
it's like you were not joking there.
I found this out. Just on the difference between white people and black people, I found out that black people use Cash App.
That's right.
And white people use Venmo.
I don't know what that...
And old people use PayPal. I think someone had a bit about it, but there was we had a black opener.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet Addison.
Addison.
In Appleton. And I tried to pay him on... Man, have I paid him yet? Uh-oh. I don't think I've paid him. We'll find a way to pay you, Addison. Damn.
Just him watching this going, I said, pay me, motherfucker.
I said, please get a Venmo. I said, it will help you move up in comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you have a Venmo.
It's a lot of white bookers with Venmos.
I didn't know this, that there was a white one and a black one.
Well, I mean, it's not so much it's mostly like, I think Cash App is more so associated with, and this is just coming from me, totally not experienced in this industry or whatsoever, drug dealers.
Oh.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
What a beautiful point on which to end the podcast. The James Donald Fools Began Catamaran Plan. Wimbledog, still coming out on the Patreon. CJ Landry.
What are your... What did you want me to say?
Oh, that's it.
No,
I just... I mean, it's already been a very long podcast. I thought we talked for 10 minutes.
We're
talked for way
up.
Longer.
We're
we talked for way...
Up.
This was great.
Check me out, huh?
This was
what
great.
What the fuck? Check me out. Check my Instagram out.
At
the CJ Landry. Again, I don't know what's wrong with the guy that has CJ Landry on Instagram. I've DM'd him multiple times. He just won't respond. Thank you for supporting this podcast.
These fellas from the bar at the club tonight. As you launch into a 8-minute tirade about
I went on a little too long there, and I'm sorry about that. I hope you enjoyed it, though. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. We're listening to it, and please keep supporting James McCann. He's going to be very famous soon. If you want to catch one of his shows, you should right now before the tickets get very steep.
I would never do that. All right. Catamaran ho, everybody.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.